888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Don Dunn, along with our great friend Brian Matthews, Drew at the controls. It is Wednesday, January the 14th. A little windy. I think it's going to get cold again tonight, Brian. So make sure you have your pets and plants in.
That's right.
And any small children, don't leave them outside.
Probably not a good idea.
But I appreciate you being here to help us out. Dan's on the road with women's basketball for Troy. Bill is enjoying a little R&R.
Yeah, it's not cold where he is.
A lot warmer than us.
Yeah.
And Drew's at the controls. It is Wednesday. We've got a big slate of SEC basketball tonight. Auburn's got a big game on the road at Missouri. Crazy games last night. Tennessee went double overtime. I don't know if you saw any of that.
I did not.
And Squeak went out against Texas A&M. Alabama came back and crushed Mississippi State.
Yes.
And other than that, just a lot of things going on still in the portal. A lot of openings in the NFL head coaching positions. A lot of rumors. A lot of recycling going on, it looks like to me.
Yeah, that's what it's been, though, for a while, hasn't it? You don't see a lot of guys getting their first chance.
You don't see a guy like Don Dunn getting hired at Tampa Bay. No, not yet. But, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Looking forward to getting through with the portal process here.
I bet. It's as hard on you guys as it is the coaches just keeping up with all this stuff. I don't know how y'all do it. I don't know how they do it.
I'm not doing much of that. That's mostly Jeffrey Lee.
The younger guys.
And Cole. And those guys are doing a terrific job.
They do a great job.
But right now we're at 34 out, I believe, and 25 in. That's the count I got.
Yeah. And
it ends
Friday, right, at midnight?
That's for players getting in, but players can still pop out and go to school at any time between now and August, whatever.
I did not know that. I thought Friday was the end of all of this.
Nope.
Good Lord. And we still have high school recruiting.
Yes.
Still signing date in February, correct?
Yes. I don't know that Auburn has chased anybody, but they may be. You know, it's a new staff.
Right. I'm sure after this weekend you may hear some other stuff going on about that. And believe it or not, baseball's right around the corner.
That's right.
We're in the middle of basketball, men and women's. Big wins for both last weekend. We've got softball starting up soon. We've got gymnastics going on. So there's plenty to do and plenty to cover. I know you guys are busy, especially with this portal. I cannot imagine. I tell you every time I see you, I miss coaching. I miss the players, the coaches, the friends, the camaraderie, the game day, the travel, recruiting. I even enjoyed that back then.
Right.
I could not take this. Yeah. I'd probably kill somebody, or they'd kill me.
Well, you know, you think about this, and I'll just bring up Malik Blockton as an example because he's a defensive lineman. But imagine that you recruited this kid out of high school. You poured yourself into him for 2 years. He got to start a little bit as a freshman, was a starter as a sophomore, and you know you're going to get the best out of him as a junior, right?
Yeah.
He's got 3 years now in the off-season workouts. He knows the system. He knows his duties. He's a good kid. He works hard, and he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
that's just
heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And you get close to those guys, and we used to love to bring them in, watch them grow, redshirt them. Yep. Very seldom. You remember, we didn't play a lot of true freshmen. Some of them, but watch them grow, watch them mature. It's so hard that first year when they're away from home. You know, they get homesick. They miss their parents, their grandparents, their friends, their girlfriend, whatever. And we used to fight to keep them from being homesick, not because they're getting more money and going somewhere else. So I can't even imagine. But I couldn't imagine losing a Spencer Johnson or a Josh Thompson. You know, like a sophomore, junior year, or Tommy Jackson or Tez Doolittle, all those great players that luckily I had, and great kids, and you know, Cinderic Marks. And
they were a lot better year three and four than year one and two, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, like Jay Ratliff was a tight end.
Right.
And then he's played at least 7-8 years in the pros.
Yep.
Spencer Johnson, same thing, linebacker. DeMarco McNeil, he was always a nose guard.
Yeah, he was.
With that body. Yeah. But what a great basketball player.
Yep.
in the state down in Mobile. Unbelievable.
Yep,
you look at him, you say, come on now. Yeah. He was a little Charles Barkley.
Yes, he was.
A shorter Charles Barkley.
Yes.
But we'd love to hear from you. I know there's some phone problems around the United States. I'm sure a lot of people are panicking. They don't know what to do without their phones. But if you get a chance, give us a call at 321-1390. That's the Sky Bar hotline. Our good friends at Sky Bar sponsor our call-ins.
You and can see me and Don Coach Dunn down there usually most Friday and Saturday nights, right?
Where's that?
You can usually find us down there every Friday, Saturday night, right?
Yeah. Not anymore since they closed Whataburger. I might have stumbled down the other way, but no. I love Sky Bar. I've been in there since. Never was in there when I was here coaching. I was a little bit afraid of who I might run into, some of those guys we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to tell them not to come into some places I like to go.
But well, you know those Edden boys were always trouble back
then.
Oh,
my gosh. What a bunch Still of characters.
Are. Yeah.
And on a sadder note, I want to again bring up Jimmy Perry and his family. Yeah. We're thinking about them. I know they're having a big celebration of life this Sunday down in Montgomery and just a sad deal. You know, he battled cancer the last 2 years, which I did not know that. I knew he'd been feeling bad. I talked to Kevin Yoxel today, who was really close to Jimmy. And you know, he was a fighter, man. He had a kidney transplant years ago. He had some heart problems.
Yep.
Great coach, state champion, did a great job for us. I know you got to be close to him at Auburn.
I did.
Just a great person.
Really was. Legendary high school coach.
Yeah. Started with Spence McCracken down
another
at
legend.
Lee.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Two great coaches and just had a great impact on young men and people that he worked with. Never always saw him with a smile. He used to always text me on Fridays. We always liked that song by George Jones, It's Finally Friday. And for years, I'd get a text or a video with George singing, "It's finally Friday. Finally got paid." But yeah, Jimmy will be missed, and I'm sure it's going to be a huge crowd down there at St. James on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. If you want details, you can look it up on the internet. But just a great guy, Hall of Famer, state champion, football coach, and touched many, many lives, and he'll be missed. But our condolences to him and his family, and tough deal, especially right here at the new year. And it's you never know, man. You just got to do the best you can and be good to people and keep working and be 10 minutes early and do what you got to do. But it's sad times.
Yeah.
So happy new year to you. I hadn't seen you since last year. You know the old joke.
It's been a minute,
I hope your wife's doing good.
She's getting around, started back at work
a week
ago.
I had no clue until about 5 days ago somebody told me, so I apologize for not getting in touch with
you. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. But you never know.
Well, she took the dog out to do the business in the morning and slipped and fell and broke both bones in her leg.
Oh, my goodness.
And, we're at the hospital. She had surgery the next day, but the folks at the hospital were telling us that, you know, they had several people in there that had you know, fallen and broken something because of dogs. So be careful when you're out there with your dog.
Yeah, because they take off. They see a squirrel or another dog, and they don't care.
Yes.
And they're not doing it on purpose. They're just excited.
There's being dogs.
Especially when you get my age, and I can barely walk around now. So a dog would destroy me. But you got to have a dog. There's nothing better than a dog.
That's right.
And we lost our dog old age a couple of years ago, and I've been fighting with Donna trying to get another one. She said, "Will you take care of it?" And I said, "I will." She said, "Yeah, right." But anyway, please give us a call, 334-321-1390. That's the Sky Bar Hotline. So, Brian, I guess we could talk a little bit about basketball. Big win last week. I know you don't want to talk about it too much because we've already got another game. That's the thing about basketball.
Yep.
I was telling Bill the other day, you know, you get beat in football, you got 6.5 days to ache or get better. In basketball, you don't have a lot of time, so you got to just flush it out of your system, win or lose. You know, the 24-hour rule is almost not possible in basketball and baseball because you play, you know, sometimes you play two games, you know, like in the tournament, a Thursday, Friday, or a Friday, Sunday. So, but I know that they have really a big win against a good Arkansas team. And,
yes.
They played hard. I thought they were, you know, the bench was excited. The crowd is, I mean, come on, man. They're the best fans in American basketball. But I don't know if you got to see the game or I know you followed it, but.
I was up in the Raptors at Neville Arena.
Okay, yeah.
You know, sometimes I can tell who's got the ball, and sometimes I have to ask the guy next to me, who's that again?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hard up there.
I know, especially at my age, I get my binoculars.
I do need to bring my binoculars to Neville, but I'm afraid people make fun of me too much. So
yeah, who's so that we'll guy see. With binoculars?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, here he is. But I thought Auburn just got after Arkansas. They were winning, you know, every loose ball.
Right. 50,
you know,
50 balls, everything. Yep.
They were getting after it defensively. They were pushing the ball up the floor, you know, driving to the basket. I forget I think they had a plus 20-something advantage in points in the paint, out-rebounded a bigger Arkansas team. So you just got to give them credit for having two tough losses.
Yes.
Coming back and playing, you know, a terrific game against a really quality, talented opponent.
The Hall of Fame coach, the whole nine yards. Everybody, no one picked Auburn to win that game, I guarantee you. Yep. They might have said, okay, we're going to win, but deep down, they a lot of concern, and it would have been really tough to go 0-3.
Ooh, yep.
And there's a lot of good teams in the SEC are, quote, thought to be good teams that are 1-2, 0-3 right now.
That's right.
It's a different league this year.
It is. It's not top heavy.
It's not as tough, like you said at the top, like last year. The whole league was tough last year. Maybe that's what I mean to say. Anybody can win any night.
That's the way I feel about it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Again, that's another thing I could have never been as a basketball coach. But anyway,
they're at Missouri tonight.
Yeah.
Missouri is a really deep team. They'll play 10-plus player.
Long.
Got a lot of length. You know, they got a 6'10 kid that can play guard. He can shoot from the outside. Of course, he can bang inside, too, some. So they've got those type of players on that team. So this is going to be a difficult matchup in that respect, although I think Auburn's going to have an advantage speed-wise. So I think you'll see them try to push it. But, again, they're short, you know, on players depth-wise as what they were hoping they would have going into the season due to injuries and some other things. So, you know, it makes it a little bit tougher to sort of implement the fast-paced. We're going to fast break and you know, press teams the whole game like you saw against A&M. Auburn was control of that game until, you know, midway through the second half and gave up the 16-point lead. And I thought a lot of that was just them getting tired.
Fatigue, yeah. Yeah, you got to be careful. And like you said, depth is important in all sports. But, you know, as hard as they play and fast as they are and athletic as they are now in basketball, I don't care how good a shape, you got to sub.
Oh, yes.
I mean, especially if you're a pressing team or a transition team. You got to get out and run, and, man, those guys are so athletic now. A lot of good-looking tight ends out there as I watch college basketball.
Yes.
They can move down to defensive end.
We need to talk about tight ends because Auburn's a lot better in that room. But one thing that Stephen Pearl talked about was since Christmas break, since coming back, he said analytically Auburn's the ninth-best team in the country playing the last four games or whatever it is.
I saw that.
I think that's a really good sign for Auburn going in this game. I think it would be an upset for Auburn to win in Missouri, of course. But I think this team is more than capable of it. I like the way that Keyshawn Murphy's playing inside. Philip Jovic seems to get better every time he steps on the floor.
Right.
Just one of those hustle players.
Yep.
That's also got some skill, too. And, you know, Todd's has his ups and downs, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe not the leader, at least Auburn was hoping he would be.
Exactly.
But he does play incredible on the road. And he can have those games where he just goes off. And the other thing I like about Tahad in the last few weeks is he's really increased his assists, try to cut down the turnovers, be more of a playmaker, a facilitator.
More of a team guy.
Yep.
You know, sometimes, this may sound crazy, some players play better away from home.
Mm-hmm.
Some football players play better away from home. There's not as much pressure. Maybe there's too much to do at home.
Yeah.
Now you get them alone. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But isn't that crazy? But a lot of people love playing on the road.
They get excited
with the people getting on them.
I'm trying to think of a football player. Cadillac was a player, but he was good at home too. But I always think about him as a freshman going to Georgia.
Yeah.
And having, was it 40 carries?
Unbelievable.
Something like that?
Yeah, we'd have to look it up.
But just amazing what I don't know why I thought of that, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get to AJ as soon as we get back. And thanks for joining us, and we'll take a quick break. Thank you.
Step into the new year
live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome back to the drive on this Wednesday, January the 14th, and let's go to the phone lines, and we've got AJ. How you doing,
hey,
AJ?
Doing great, guys. Great show today. Really enjoying it. I guess one of the great lessons in life my father tried to pass on to me was be able to move on from disappointment quickly and move forward, but I'm referencing the Texas A&M game. Has there ever been any clarification from the SEC office, not so much the shot in the hand, that's a judgment call, but why moving the clock from 2:04 to 0.6? Did they ever say
they did not
determine it hit the rim, or they just move on?
They just moved on from that. They really did. They didn't even have the temerity to show us the information they had that showed that shot did not get off in time. They just basically told Auburn that they had unequivocal
evidence,
proof, right, that it did. But that's amazing. Is a big issue. There should be total transparency with the SEC office and the media and schools, and whatever they have a controversial decision like that, everything should be out in the open for everybody else to see. I just really disagree with them keeping that behind closed doors.
Been an Auburn fan all my adult life. Moved to Alabama when I was 10 years old, and when I moved here in the mid-60s, everybody assumed you'd be an Alabama fan. I was a Boy Scout, and we ushered Auburn sports, so that's how I became an Auburn fan. But I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I don't think the referees or the SEC office are necessarily against this. But I'm with you. It should be transparent what they saw, and let the fan base in this university see what they saw to make their decision. I don't think they'll go back and reverse who won the game, but there would be some satisfaction to know, we missed it, or what happened.
Yeah,
I agree with you, AJ. I wish we would do like the ACC.
Right.
When you see a challenge or a replay, they're accountable. I mean, who's even making these calls? It could be some hojo sitting in a bar in Birmingham. I don't know, but because it's like, we're the holy word, and that's the way it is. And I agree with you. I think they're honest, the referees, but they needed help on that call, and we never got any explanation.
Well, they did. I was at the game, and I was at the Final Four in Minneapolis.
Oh my goodness! And the double dribble.
And we saw, absolutely. It looked odd to me. I lived in Gainesville, Florida for 12 years. And when I was there, I was a banker for a long time. And when I was there, I worked for their game day stat crew.
Yes,
they did stats from 98 to 2010. So I got to see UF win two national championships, and then was at Minneapolis when we were there. And something looked odd about that, but it didn't. I thought Bryce had poked the ball away, and he was able to go pick it up and dribble it. But then shoots, misses from the corner. Me and my son, who's with me, start hugging and cheering and jumping up and down. But then I see those referees walking towards the scorers table.
Yeah, that was a tough one. We appreciate
similar feeling
you
with Texas A&M the other night.
Yes,
a lot
sir.
Smaller venue, but
yes, sir.
Similar feeling.
Well, thank you for the call, AJ. Keep in touch with us. Now we'll go to TP. We got
all
initial
right.
day. Hey, TP.
Hey guys, how you doing? Enjoying the show, and very excited about tonight's game. Sometimes basketball games kind of sneak up on me. I'm going, wait, there's one tonight?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I wasn't quite ready for it and then saw it and got excited.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We were talking, Brian, off air. The nice thing about it, it's not an 8 o'clock.
I know.
I'm getting too old. I can't make it after about 7:30.
Yeah.
That game last night went double overtime. If you were an Alabama fan, I wish it wouldn't have come on to 2 o'clock in the morning. But anyway.
Well, I'm an optimist, and I believe that except for maybe one game, we've been in almost all games and could have won them. But with this team, not even knowing each other before this year, that it seems that with the Arkansas game, that they are getting an identity. And that's always something that if once a team kind of gets an identity, they can take that, and if they stick with it, they build on it. So with the Arkansas game, it just seemed like we had gotten gotten an identity. And the Missouri game coming up, they really shouldn't. I mean, we're underdogs in that game. It's an away game, and we really probably shouldn't win, but I'm hoping that their identity comes together and that we start being a team more than a bunch of individuals. And the two keys to the game, excuse the pun, but Keyshawn and Murphy and Hall,
yep.
If they're on, it just seems like they cannot be stopped. And to Hod, then, if they're putting two people on him, he's got one of them open that can get to the basket. And if they're not putting two people on to Hod, he can always take the man that's on him and use him and get a score. It seems like to Hod seems to be more comfortable with feeding others, at least in the Arkansas game, feeding others than just trying to get all of his points and winning the game on his back. So anyway, that's what I'm hoping happens tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a great point about the identity. I feel like this team's identity that they're creating is one that where they're playing a lot tougher defensively, and they're just playing with a lot more energy, and they're using that defense to turn it into offense on the other end. And I just think that makes a difference. I thought some things that have happened on this team over the last several weeks, Elijah Freeman going to Stephen Pearl and saying, hey, I want to come off the bench.
Right.
I think that's just an incredible team move.
Yep.
And it helps the starting group, and it helps Elijah come off the bench when he can be more of a focus on the offense, which he's a great offensive player. And he's also really, really good defensively when he applies himself too. So I agree with TP?
Yes, TP.
Yeah, that those initials remind me of somebody really special.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think having that identity and then building on it is something that this Auburn team has needed. I haven't necessarily seen it until recently, and we'll see how that looks tonight.
And you know what else I like? Mm-hmm. I like the fact that he disciplined those two kids for being late.
Yes.
Now, when you're losing, that's hard to do.
Yep.
Now, if you're 20-0, we'll set you for a minute. But I gained a lot of respect for Coach Pearl, Steven, when he did that. Of course, I'm old school, so I wouldn't have anybody playing for me. They'd all be in the portal. Thank you, TP. Appreciate the call. Now we got Walker. Walker, how you doing this evening?
Hi, guys. I'm just wondering about, so if you look at what happened with the ACC this year in their football games, they were doing a lot of their review processes, and they were broadcasting, I guess, whatever the guy that sits back at the station, reviewing everything, they were broadcasting that out so, the public could tune in and see what was going on behind the scenes.
Right,
That seems like it'd be a good idea for, other conferences and even, you were talking about basketball just a minute ago. Why can't we do that for all other sports and all other conferences? I mean, that just seems, why keep it behind the curtain?
I agree 100%. And it's a great idea. I think one of the reasons that the SEC and Big Ten have not decided to do that too is because it's the ACC who did it first, and there's just a lot of egos involved.
Oh yeah, they're arrogant now. Yes. Don't think they're not. SEC and the Big Ten.
Yes.
No, I agree with you, Walker. We were talking about that earlier. Yeah, let's see who's doing it. Let's hear it, and we might agree with them, you know, but not making any call or not giving any explanation. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. I just wanted to throw it
out
there. Yeah,
we agree with you 100%. Thank you for the call.
Yep, thanks, guys.
All righty, let's get thank you for those great calls. And, again, if you get a chance, hit us up. And we're going to the bottom of the hour break. We'll be back, Brian and myself and Drew at the controls.
Sir.
Thank you.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Brian Matthews, Don Dunn, Drew at the controls, and we've got Brian on the line. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, the Coach and B-Math show. I love it.
Coach awesome.
Doing a great job this week. It's good to hear you you speak up, because sometimes Bill and Dan are the loudest in the room, and you get a little...
Hey, we were just...
Good to have you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I have no clue what I'm doing. And if these other guys weren't here, I'd jump out the window. But, you know, I'm not... I can't even work my cell phone. My son, when he's in town, has to fix everything. He always says, "Dad, when was the last time you cleaned it out?" I said, "What are you talking about? I have no clue what you're talking about." How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing all right, Coach. Question: switching to football, Brian. You're always one of my favorite guests, because I love that you wear your Auburn colors on your sleeve, and you kind of no holds bar when you talk about Auburn.
Thank you.
Question for you: a couple of weeks back, you had a little bit of concern about you know, the number of guys that had gone into the portal.
Yes.
And just not upset with coaching, but just Auburn in general and some of our GM or whatever roles you want to talk about. How you feeling now? You know, and what are you thinking about for O-line and D-line? Are we still going to get some decent guys? Do you have any idea who we got a shot at, that type of thing?
I'm feeling better about the guys I brought in. I wouldn't say beef, or my concerns are with the administration, not the staff, not the coaching staff, not the football staff, and just, you know, what's going on with NIL and all the extras that some schools are doing and getting away with and are not going to be punished for, in my opinion. But Auburn's just not playing ball in that way. And I just think when you're a school that's in the worst stretch in the history, going back to the 40s, that you should do everything possible, be as aggressive as possible when it comes to building back this football program to where it should be, which is competing for championships. So my beef is more with the administration. I think the coaching staff under Golish is doing a really good job with what they're given and the, you know, whatever resources they have. And speaking of the offensive line, and I wanted to get into this with Coach Dunn here as we go along, but I thought Cole Best, who is was a starting center at USF, coming here now with his quarterback, with his receivers, even with his running back.
Yeah,
and another running back. Yeah, and coaches.
Yeah.
I just think that. And then what we've heard about Cole is he's a natural leader.
Yeah.
So just how much does that mean to
an
offensive lineman?
He looks like an offensive lineman.
Right? Yes.
I like that.
And, of course, you and Coach Nall would have would always hug each other during practice and talk about what good boys you had out there.
Oh, yeah, but drink iced tea.
Yeah. But what does it mean to have an experienced center, a leader out there just to, you know, sort of run things on that offensive line?
Yeah.
I'm asking you, Coach, what does it mean?
You know,
I'm sorry. I tell you what, it's invaluable.
Yeah.
You know, they make all the calls.
Yep.
You know, they set up protections. They point out who they think, you know, blitzes, which way to slide the protection. Helps the running back, you know, you're gonna chip, you're going to do this. And, you know, I was a center, believe it or not. Not very good, but I was a center. So, and, of course, back then we didn't do all that stuff. We snapped the ball right to the quarterback. His hands were up under us, and whether that's good or bad. But Yeah, but I think it's invaluable, and I like what they've done. And I don't know anything about these guys a lot, but I've kind of read up on them, and you know they're a pretty good football team.
Yes, they did. Yeah. What were you about to say there, caller? I'm sorry,
Brian.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I agree with bringing in the USF guys. I mean, the way that I look at it is, aside from even them, you know, whether they're depth pieces or starters, they're winners. They've won more games. Those guys that we brought in have won more games than the guys that we've lost have. So, in my opinion, just bringing those guys in and changing the culture that way is a big plus. The question I was going to ask was, do you know? Oh, well, two part, I guess, and then I'll let you guys go. Do you think the guy's going to play center from USF, or are they going to fly Kale Ellis over to guard then? And then the other question is, like, do you know of any other guys that we have potential at for O-line and D-line?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think is going to happen. Because I do think Kale is going to be a starting center at Auburn at some point in his career, but it makes a lot of sense for Cole Best to be your starting center. That's what he was at USF. You know, as long as he gets out there and competes and wins the job. And then give Ellis a chance to maybe slide over to guard, because I do think with his talent, he probably needs to be given that opportunity to be a starter too. I think Auburn's at 12 scholarship linemen right now, and you would like to have, I would say, 14 or 15.
Yes.
You know, close to three groups. I think Auburn's carried 15 for most of the last few years. I know that Barrett Maddox is a JUCO offensive lineman. He'll be a junior, so he'll have 2 years to play. I think he's a tackle. He is supposed to come in, or he's already been in, and I think he's the guy that Auburn's looking at. I think they've got maybe one or two other guys they're looking at along the offensive line there. I think they'd like at least two more, a tackle and a guard, experienced guys that can come in there and compete for a spot or start. And then the defensive line is the other area when I look at this team and say, you got great linebackers. You did a great job replacing Kai and Lee and Jay Crawford in the portal. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a wash there at cornerback. You've got great safeties and nickels coming back, and you added a nickel from USF that looks like he's really good at the line of scrimmage, sacking and you know, affecting the backfield there. So I think you've improved there. But none of that matters if you can't shore up that defensive line. To me, that's the biggest area of need going into this final, however long it's going to be that Auburn – you know, finishes out their roster building.
Yeah, great. All right, well, great stuff, guys, and keep it up. Coach, you're doing a fantastic job.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll send you your money. It'll be in the mail tomorrow. Thank you, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, and one defensive lineman I didn't mention, DeAndre Robinson from North Carolina.
Right.
I think he will be coming in for a visit here soon, so he's a guy just to keep an eye on. Former Texas A&M player, I believe, and I believe he started for North Carolina last fall. So that's a guy you think that would come in and compete with, is it Cole Skinner? Is that right? No, not Cole Skinner. Cole, who was the big defensive lineman they signed from Arkansas State, who's really good. But anyway, that's who I think will come in possibly if they can sign him and compete there at that D-tackle position. They still need another nose guard, and they really, really need a five technique.
Right.
And an edge, a pass rusher. That to me, if they're going to invest whatever money they have remaining, those are the two positions they need more than anything right now.
Right. Now, does the dead period ends today?
I believe that's right. That was
because of the convention.
Yeah. Is it the AFCA?
Yeah. American Football Coaches Convention.
Yes. Yeah. And Cody. I'm sorry. I'm going to say Cody Sigler is the Arkansas State defensive tackle.
Right. Yeah. Right. I agree with you, Brian. I like these guys. You know, a lot of people early. Oh man, we're doing is getting you know, South Florida players.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they beat Florida, and look what Indiana did taking James Madison players.
Right.
And no disrespect, I've said this all week to James Madison, but South Florida's a better football program from top to bottom than James Madison. They have better players, and you know, some people may agree or may not, but I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But. I'd like to, if you don't mind, Brian, maybe go down each room. I know we're excited about some rooms, and like you said, we got to get a few more people in some other rooms.
Yep, that's right. And it's not over yet, so you say they're not doing it, they just haven't got it done yet.
Right, and people cannot panic. I know it's easy to panic.
Heck, and, I panic sometimes.
I know, me too.
About 2 weeks ago.
Me too. I know. 2 weeks ago, I was saying, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wasn't looking good.
I know. But
but let's start at quarterback.
Okay, go ahead.
Love Byron Brown, right? You're bringing in one of the best quarterbacks in the portal.
Yeah. Could have went anywhere.
Yep. You are paying for him, too. He's going to get a good salary here at Auburn for a year.
Yeah.
But I think what I like the most about it, and we'll get into it more, but they've surrounded him with his guys, right? His receivers.
Familiarity.
A couple of offensive linemen, his center, his tight end, his running back, too, is one of three running backs, I feel like, who could all start for Auburn next year. So I like that about him. And then they've got three other quarterbacks that are going to compete for that number two spot and potentially compete for the starting job next year. So you got some more competition in that room, too. And everything I've heard about Byron Brown is he is the guy that will be the leader of this offense. He will show up. He will do the extra film work. He will
organize this offseason.
Yes.
Yep. So important.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, about the work they can put in. And
yeah, you know, I know it's changed. You have more time with coaches now, but you got to have a guy that's going to get them. You know, all these teams in the playoff, I hear these quarterbacks talking. Well, and the receivers.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, well, we got together in the indoor facility at 6 a.m. All summer, extra. And you got to have that guy.
Yep.
You cannot just show up now when practice starts. It's 365 for coaches and players. If you want to be great, you want to be a champion, you got to put in the work, and you got to have that leader. And, you know, you can put it, you know, hey, guys, everybody show up. Stevensminger told me a great story about Joe Burrow at LSU.
Okay.
Said he had a receiver come in one day. They were doing 7-on-7 on their own. They'd give them the script, but they really couldn't be out there.
Right.
But every coach in America watched from the top of the building. I know. Oh, yeah. I've been there. But the receiver came in and said, hey, Coach, Burrow's not throwing me the ball. So he calls Joe Burrow in. He says, Joe, why aren't you throwing so-and-so the ball? Well, he missed workout Tuesday. He said, what do you mean? He said he was late and didn't show up or something. He said, I'm not throwing a guy the ball unless he's here every day. That's what you need. And they won a national championship.
They did.
Now, Burrow's a character, but still, you need that leadership. You need, because the coach can't be around you all the time.
That's right.
And you know, everybody, when the coach is there, everybody's going to act normal or good most of the time. But what are you doing you know, it's like, what is character? What do you do when no one's watching or no one's around?
Yeah, and I think something you hear a lot from today's coaches is you can become a great team when you're player-led, right?
Right, exactly.
And we saw that during your time.
Oh,
some of those great teams were loaded with seniors, with leaders, with guys who
– And we never had any, knock on wood, problems off the field that I know of. I mean, you know, and it's just when it all clicks – And it starts. It doesn't happen in August. It has to be year round. And I'm excited about. I like this guy, the head coach. I don't know him from Adam, but I like what he says. I think he's going to be a no nonsense. I think we're going to get back to hard nosed football. Run the daggone ball, please.
Yeah.
And tackle and hitting. And I know we're going to have a spring game again, which I like. You know. You don't have to worry about anybody stealing them, I guess, out of the spring game now like we used to.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand that either. But anyway, we guess it's time for another break, Brian, and we'll continue
that
talking about the what we have right now on the football roster.
Yeah, let's talk about the different positions.
And please give us a call. You're listening to The Drive.
Jonathan here with University Ace Hardware. At University Ace, we make renting easy. Pick up a pressure washer, grab the right cleaner, and get expert advice all in one trip. Not sure what you need? Our team is here to help, guaranteed.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back to The Drive on this Wednesday, January the 14th. Brian Matthews, Don Dunn, Drew at the controls, and we have Philly Fanatic. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, a little nervous that I don't hit a button or electrocute myself or everybody in here.
Are you cooking all that barbecue outside in 20-degree weather?
Yeah, I have to go out there. We have a little building, a little smoker, but it was cold Sunday night, and it's going to be cold tonight. And the problem with Philly, the problem with Sunday nights, you know, they close at 3 in the afternoon, so I go in the middle of the night, and that big old thing is steel, and it's been off, and it's cold, and it takes me a while to get her cranked up.
Need to have your ski outfit, long underwear.
That's right. Oh, I've done that before.
Brian, I have some questions for you. I know everybody's keen on football portal and recruiting, and I know they're at the deadline, but I haven't really heard any much about the basketball. I know they're going to lose the two Keyshawns and Pettiford. Who are they looking at? Is it freshman, portal, both?
I think it's portal because I'm not aware of any freshman they're pushing for right now, but I don't cover basketball recruiting closely, so I may be wrong there, but that is an interesting question. I really, when I look at this team, you know, if you can get Elijah Freeman back, if you can get Williams Adams back, who I think is going to be a much better player in year two.
Oh, yeah,
he's already an exciting freshman, I feel like. Jovic, again, another guy that is going to be so much better. I just think you've got a nice core of players now that are scheduled to come back. We'll see if they come back. That you can really build a good team around going into next year.
Seems like they could use some more big men because two of the best big men are gone.
Yes, so I would expect them to do that in the portal for sure.
Yeah, I expect they might be going international again because you see these teams now that Auburn's playing. They got two or three internationals on there. People from Europe, Africa. You know, they come in more mature, I think.
They do.
And they don't care about the money.
Yep.
As much. They care about it, but not as much.
And now you've got that whole opening of guys that have played professionally, G League and stuff, that can now be eligible. So, I think Auburn's got a lot more options now to look at in the offseason. I think they'll also make sure that they save a spot or two if they need them in January, as they could have used one this January, to bring in a guy if they have to do that. So there have been some lessons learned now. There will be more opportunities in the next offseason. And they've got a chance, I feel like, to get better this year, but to have a really, really good team next year if they can retain some of these players and bring in some good ones.
Let's hope so. I want to end with my muse on Grateful Dead with the death of Bob Weir, who was
man,
he was the heart and soul of that. With not only guitars but writing.
Yes,
I mean they had so many great songs. I mean trucking, Casey Jones, Sugar Magnolia, Friend of a Devil. I mean that the Deadheads would follow them everywhere.
Oh yeah, I had a good friend, Philly. She, I'm talking about, she was almost as bad as Bill Walton. Traveled everywhere, and she's a lot younger than I am, you know, or we are. I don't know your age, but she's probably in her late 40s, and, you know, that was kind of unheard of. And she'd go everywhere. And, they were, what a great band. unbelievable.
Yeah, they lost Garcia a while back. So they still put out some good music.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Well, thank you,
Coach,
sir.
Coach, we're about we're about the same age. I'm 75.
I'm a little bit younger, but not much. I feel like I'm 95.
Okay, same to me.
Thank you, buddy.
I think War Eagle tonight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's hope so. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Tom. Tom, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Coach.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing? Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
I just got one quick question. Who is the, or did Coach Golish bring in a new strength and conditioning coordinator?
He brought in his strength coach from USF. I'm trying to think of his name. He is, what is his name?
We can't look it up. We don't have any service.
But
he was with him.
Yes.
We'll have to find that name for
it's,
you.
It's George Cordes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is he real good or what?
As far as I know, yes. I mean, I couldn't tell you who is a great strength coach, right, who's not. I know Auburn's had some really good ones. Sorry, Coach Yox, who we mentioned earlier in this show, but he looks like a strength coach, I can tell you that.
I'll say this, Tom. He would not have brought him to a place like Auburn if he wasn't good and he didn't believe in him. Because he could he could have gone out and got anybody in the country to come to Auburn. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well,
but they need to get
it.
they need to get him back tough and strong and hard nosed again like the old days.
I had a very very close relative of mine that was in that profession. So,
okay.
He was at Colorado, and so I follow that, pretty close.
Tom, I'll say this, probably the most important person on the team, on the staff, because they're with them 365 days a year. They can work them out. They're in there. They grind them. They condition them over the summer. In the old days, we could not coach at all in the summer, and that was the strength coach. And they so important. That would be the first guy I would hire if I was ever a head coach.
Yep. He was at Iowa State for 5 years, also spent a couple years with the Jets before going and joining Golish at USF. So got college and NFL experience.
What's his name, Brian?
It's George Corrades. I'm not sure how you pronounce that last name, but yes.
Okay.
Corrides.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I agree. That is I think it's the most important spot on the team. Because they're with them every second.
Yeah.
And you got to have Coach Yox, man. He would work them. Remember, Brian?
Yes.
But they loved him.
Yes.
They still love him.
And I believe it was with Coach Yox that they would be pushed. They would find their new limit, right? He would push them past where they thought they could do.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching out my window and pushing them sleds in July, 150 degrees, humidity. Yep. But that's how we got better and bigger and stronger and staying healthy. I always wonder now, it seems like maybe it's me, is there more injuries? And even in the pros, a lot of problems. We can talk more about it after the break. We appreciate you.
The sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Drive on Wednesday. Brian Matthews, Drew at the controls. Don Dunn trying not to break anything or electrocute anybody. We'd love to have you call in on the Skybar Hotline, 321-1390. Had some good calls the first hour, Brian.
Yes.
And you were going through... I guess what we think we're going to have next fall, and you've already covered the quarterbacks, which we're very pleased with.
Yep.
And I'll turn it back to you, buddy.
That sounds great. And I just want to mention, in addition to Byron Brown, Tristan Tia from Oregon State.
Yes, that's a kid I forgot all about.
Yep.
You know, my good friend got the head job there that I worked with at Western. It was at Alabama.
Yeah.
Jamarcus, and he took another good friend of mine. So I haven't talked to him since he lost his quarterback.
Uh-oh.
That's got to be a tough job.
Yep.
With no conference. I know they're going into one now, but he's a young guy, energetic. Right. Did a good job at Alabama. He was one of their top recruiters, receiver coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamarcus, yeah.
So they got Lachlan Hewlett from USF, and then they also flipped USF's commitment, Reese Brush. So they'll have four quarterbacks going in to practice coming up here. So that's
good.
That's a good thing. Do we have a caller?
No.
Okay. Running back, again, a room I think that is significantly better than last year. You get Jeremiah Cobb, who rushed for 900-something yards last year, really showed how physical he could be in the
tough
SEC.
Tough kid.
Great kid, too, as far as leadership, toughness. Does everything right on off the field. And then to that, you add Bryson Washington from Baylor.
Very good.
Who rushed, I think, for 1,200 yards 2 years ago and maybe 800 or so, 600, 700 last year. Nekai Davenport from USF, also another guy. Those three guys, Cobb, Washington, Davenport, combined for almost 2,400 yards rushing and 18 touchdowns last year. And they'll all be in Auburn's backfield next year. So that's huge.
You know me. I'm very happy. Run the football. Run the ball.
So you can see right there, you've got an athletic quarterback. Now you've got running backs and depth. You can see the way this offense is going, right?
Yep.
Let's throw it deep. Let's run the ball. Let's make the defense defend wide and deep, right?
And when you can run the ball, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. It opens up the pass.
It does.
I mean,
it's simple football, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what it is. Blocking, tackling, and special teams.
I mean, look at Indiana.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're going to punish you.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't make mistakes. They execute. They play great physical football. They got a great quarterback, and they just all play well together. But
all right, Brian, we have a caller, Clay. Mm-hmm. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good this evening. How are you all doing, gentlemen?
We're not bad. We're trying to hold it together, filling in for, you know, when you fill in for Hall of Famers and you got two slaps coming off the street.
Very much so.
We're holding it down.
Yeah.
Well, it's a different feeling, and I've done a little radio work, and it's a lot easier being a sidekick than a host.
That's
You don't realize how much.
That's right, and that clock barely moves when you got 2 hours. You look up, and it's been
absolutely
1 minute.
Absolutely. You run out of time when you got a host, and you it never ends when you're filling in.
And
so,
what you do?
I'll tell you this, though. You are doing a great job, both of you.
Well, I appreciate
you and
that.
Brian both.
Well, I'm glad Brian's here and Drew, because I just have to leave. But, Clay, you know what's funny? My wife said, slow down. I talked about everything I knew the first time I hosted in about 7 minutes, and I still had 2 hours.
Hey, Coach, it would probably take me about 3 minutes to talk about everything that I know.
Well, it's not what I knew. It's what I wrote down. So.
I got you. I got a quick question, but then I want to get right back into the discussion y'all were just having. And Brian, you might know maybe a little more about this. Did we ever get a reason that Magwood didn't play last Saturday?
That was the coach's decision. And I think it was very similar to Tahad a couple of games before, just having trouble getting to different things on time.
Yep.
So, that
was my assumption, because he's not on the maybe list or the out list or anything, but I never heard, Coach Pearl specifically say that it was disciplinary, it was a team violation, and we're taking care of it in house.
Yeah,
but I assume that's what it was.
Yeah, and I thought Michelek played pretty good as the backup point guard. So we'll see where that goes. I don't think that's necessarily Magwood comes back and gets those minutes. I think there's some competition there.
Yeah, and he didn't. I mean, he sure didn't hurt us. That's as good as I've seen Auburn play basketball in a long time, too, though.
Yep.
I mean, they just really put a game together, and that frustrates you as a – we'll get off my points, but as a basketball fan, that frustrates you because you see the potential of what that team can be, and so you know that the coaches see that, and it frustrates them so bad. You know, we really, really – it's hard to say should – but we dang sure could be 3-0 right now.
Oh yeah,
could
in
be.
SEC play.
Could be.
Yep.
And could have beat Houston too.
Yes.
That's a huge difference.
I think the biggest thing I saw from Auburn was, they had those tough losses in the non-conference, but you didn't see enough growth come out of that, in my opinion. You're definitely seeing that growth now from this team, right? They're they're learning some lessons. They're applying that, and they're playing better. But I also think this is a tough matchup. On the road, you're going on a far away from Auburn. You're playing a deep, physical, big team. They're going to have to really get after it and expend a lot of energy to come out of there with a win tonight.
Yeah, but one thing I will give Coach Pearl, Stephen, I'll give him a little bit. He's still trying to put the roster together and get the thing, and you're right, there wasn't a lot of growth. I see exactly what you're saying, but we're still trying to find out who needs to play together. And it's been a real plus since they put Elijah has said, hey, let me sit on the bench, coach, and let me come in and be that spark. That has really, really helped that team. I mean, that's like the, you know, Chad Baker Mazzara was, you know, he's like, I probably should be starting, but let me come in off the bench and give you a spark.
Yeah.
And I think that has helped a lot.
It's Chad Baker without the personal fouls and the technical fouls.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. He hadn't been ejected or gotten any technicals. Now, what I was going to ask, y'all mentioned Indiana, and it was a point I brought up on Doug's show a couple of days ago, is, you know, there's a lot being said about the age of Indiana, somewhat, I don't know why people are using it as, oh, well, yeah, they're so old. Well, you know, point is anybody could get them. But it reminds me of Auburn's basketball team last year.
Yep.
Because if you look at them, they were the best team in the country really from November until the end of February. Auburn University was the best team in the country, and they're going to have maybe one player on that team, as far as the seniors go, that is going to ever play in the NBA.
Yeah.
And it was because they were all 5- and 6-year seniors.
Yep.
They had played together for 2 and 3 years. And you think back to that 2010 team, that offensive line, three of them cats had started for 4 years in a row.
Right.
Since they were freshmen, and I wanted Coach Dunn to speak of that, about that 2004 team, of how special it was,
mm-hmm.
because you had those agey people out there
yep.
that had stayed with the program, had been under y'all's care, y'all had coached them, and what a difference that makes than just buying a player and plug and play. You might can do it once or twice, but I don't think you can do that, or it's hard to do that with 10, 12, 14, 18 players.
Yes, Clay, you're exactly right. You know, and a lot of those kids we had in 04, and Brian and I were talking earlier, they had redshirted too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 5 years together, and it's so important. And you're right. I heard today, I think, that the average age of Indiana's players is 22.5
right.
years old.
I think they have 45 players that are 4 years or more college experience, which is a lot of veteran dudes on your team.
And would you not rather have a 22-year-old proven offensive lineman over an 18-year-old?
Every time.
Or a 17-year-old that graduated early that might be good one day?
No question. I'll take the older kid. There's no exception to the rule. I believe in bringing them along, bigger, faster, stronger, maturity. That, you know, the big difference mentally and physically in a 17-year-old and a 22-year-old.
Well, that's what I was talking to a friend, and I know this is a different comparison, but you're talking about a senior in high school versus an eighth grader.
Yeah.
Is what you're looking at.
Yeah, basically.
You know, that's the age difference, and I know there's not as much of a growth differential after 18, but, I mean, 22, you're a grown man.
Yeah.
18, you're still learning how to get coordinated.
That's right, how to tie your shoes.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, all right. Well, hey, I've enjoyed the conversation, and y'all are doing a great job.
Thank
Don't
you, Clay.
About
Appreciate it.
You, Thank you're you. Doing very good.
And, Thank
and
you,
And hopefully
Clay.
We go out and do something with Missouri tonight, and I don't have to holler at the TV.
Just don't throw anything.
That's right.
I don't. I just go in the kitchen and start cooking, Coach. When it
there you
when,
go.
When it,
yeah.
But I get frustrated.
You can tell.
And I just listen.
You can tell by the way I look. I've been frustrated a lot.
Yeah, if you're out there cooking in the 20-degree weather,
that's right.
You are extremely well. If you coached at Auburn ever, you are extremely frustrated. I promise you.
Thank you for the call, Clay. Mm. Enjoyed it.
All right, y'all have a good evening.
You too.
All right, Brian. I guess it's break time again.
All right.
Great calls. Keep calling us on the drive at 321-1390. We'd love to hear from you. We've got about 45 minutes left. So
let's do it.
Let's go.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back to The Drive on this Wednesday, January the 14th. It's about 5:15, and before we get to our next caller, Keith, we've got Brian Matthews, we got Drew on the controls, I'm Don Dunn, and Brian, real quick.
Also a team.
Yeah. The nice thing, starting Friday, it's going to stay light after 5 p.m. So
nice.
Maybe by a minute.
I like it.
Yeah. Let's get to the hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar. And Keith, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Coach. Hey, Brian.
How you doing?
You guys are doing a great job today. I wanted to call about something, kind of double down on something you guys were doing and talking about indispensable parts of the athletic program. One guy who's been around for close to 30 years now that's been just indispensable to every team at Auburn is and doesn't get enough recognition is Dr. Michael Goodlett.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
He is absolutely important, unique to many college programs.
Yeah.
There aren't very many college programs that have a dedicated physician to cover every athletic team.
He's known
nationally, internationally. I mean, he's just a fantastic physician and great person.
Absolutely really love him and his wife, his whole family. So good to me. He would take care of my son. One time, Jonathan, my son, dropped a rock on his foot in the middle of summer over at the Mazzoni's house. So I took him in, and Dr. Goodlett took care of him out of his busy schedule, sent us to a specialist. I absolutely love him, and you're right. He is Mr. Auburn.
Yep.
And one other thing, Don, I had to resist the temptation not to do this. I almost texted Hugh Nall to let him know that you're doing this and get him to call in, but I'm not sure if you guys can bleep enough language out for him to call in.
Let's wait on that. First of all, he'd think I was crazy. Second of all, he would get after me for sure. I talked to Hugh last week. He's doing great. You know, he's running a trucking company that hauls peanuts, of all things.
How about that?
But living over in Albany, around Albany, yeah. Georgia, and a great guy. And you talk about a competitor. Woo!
Yes. Yeah, I would have some times out there on the old drill field or whatever it was.
Yeah, with Terry Price and Hugh and I.
Yeah.
I miss those days, believe me.
Yep.
All right, guys, keep the good work up. Thanks.
Thank you, Keith. Yeah, Brian, those were the days, boy. That old intramural practice fields, mm-hmm. holes and mud and yep. mosquitoes and hot. Then you had to walk back.
97 degrees.
Yeah, that's right.
Like soup out there.
That's right. But we were discussing each room, football, and I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah, well, just going down the list, wide receiver. You know, you lost a ton of talent, Cam Coleman, Malcolm Simmons, Eric Singleton, those guys. But I think they've done a great job of bringing in guys that are going to know the system right away, fit in, and be able day one to start going out there and making plays. Keyshawn Singleton was USF's number one receiver. Jeremiah Kogler was their number two guy. They're looking at least one more receiver in that portal to add to that group. But, you know, you're just surrounded by Byron Brown with a lot of guys that were successful with him and know him and know the system, so I think that's a big plus. And I like that they're able to keep some young guys too. I thought Sam Turner, who went in the portal and then got back out, he's a guy that I mean, I just go to practice. I've been doing it for 25 years. I can see a football player when I see him.
Right, for sure.
And even though he's a freshman, I can point to that guy and say, I think he's going to be a player in the future.
Right.
You know, he hurt himself. He broke his leg, I believe it was. So,
yeah,
you know, that development, development might take
and
some time.
And you're right. That's going to help him sitting out a year. Or not sitting out, but not playing.
Yeah. So I think they've got a good room there, and I still think they're going to add one more piece there. Tight end, we talked about off the air, is so much better, that room. They got Jake Johnson recently from North Carolina.
Good player.
Jonathan Echols, another big athletic kid from USF. Xavier Newsom, I think, is another big athletic kid from Howard, I believe, maybe an upside guy.
Yeah.
And then they brought in a kid, DeMarcus Broughton, a high school kid, along with Ryan, I guess, Gaia. I think that's how you say it. I'm not sure.
Don't ask me.
So now they've got depth. They've got young guys. They've got veteran guys. They've got
seniors. Can't have enough tight ends. You know me. I love to see a tight end that can run, that can block, that can catch.
Yep.
Just so valuable.
And now you look at, we talked about this, but the tight ends they've added, the running backs they've added. You can just see this offense coming together, and you can see that there's going to be getting back more to what Auburn does or has done the past best, which is run the ball, get it deep, make plays, get to the fourth quarter in a close game, and start overpowering
and score
people.
In the red zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I will say, I know everybody was just panicking when we lost some of our top receivers.
Yeah.
But let me just, as an old coach, an old senile guy, don't worry about the ones that leave you. Worry about the ones you got.
Right.
I mean, I've been through it 100 times in recruiting. I thought I had a guy signed, lose him that morning.
Yeah, that's tough.
I lost one to Clemson that broke my heart. I lost a great one to Mississippi State. But don't worry about the ones that not there. Coach the ones you got. Love them up. And I don't want a guy that doesn't want to be here. And no disrespect to those young men. I wish them well, but I hope they don't ever win another game.
There you go. And then the offensive line, they returned three players from last year's team. So this was a total rebuilding job.
Yes.
But I think they've done a really good job. Stanton Ramo is an in-state kid that went to Michigan State. Now he's back. He's a tackle. He's a junior. He's got that experience playing at a powerful level.
In a big power conference.
Yep. He can play left tackle. They got Joe Simmons, another big kid. I forget exactly where he's from, but he's another big tackle kid. They got Cole Best and Cole Skinner from USF. And we talked about Best, the center, and how good he can be. And I think a guy like Kyle Ellis, who started some games at center as a true freshman, as a 17-year-old, can certainly make a big step forward in this offseason.
Yes, for sure.
And potentially be a starter. Ty Buster and Jacoby Ward are two other guys that Auburn's got back. And I think that's a room that you're going to see them add a couple more here in the coming days and weeks just to fill out that offensive line group.
Yeah, you can't have enough of them. I think you mentioned maybe 15 is a good number.
Yeah.
Three deep. The center is so important. We talked about that earlier. He's the quarterback of your O-line. Again, I'm repeating myself, and people know that. Our listeners are smart and intelligent. They know that he's the guy that sets the protections and the blocking schemes, and he has to snap the ball. See, that's different when I played. The only time I had to snap it long was on punts and field goals. And that's tough every time to make those calls, point it out, your head's up, you look under, and especially playing on the road with a silent, you know, snap count and all those little things you don't think about till you sail one over the guy's head or bounce through his legs.
And now he's got to snap the ball and maybe try to block a 350-pounder who moves like a 210-pounder
like
back in the day.
Gazelle. Yeah. And that's changed, crazy, too. I never had to block anybody that good. Of course, that's probably why I went to East Tennessee State.
There you go.
But, I'm very excited about the tight ends that you mentioned. Excited about the O-line. And to me, that's all I ever watch is, you know, again, I'm old school, and I coached and played in the O-line, and I mean the D-line. The trenches, it hasn't changed in 150 years of football, and it won't the next 150 years. You know, you look at all the finesse, all the stuff. Indiana runs the ball, like you mentioned earlier. They have great receivers that can stretch the field. They make plays. The quarterback's smart. He's older. He's tough. So I'm excited about where we're going. Will we win 10 games? I don't know. But I think we're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And you know, you mentioned something about having that experienced quarterback, and it makes you really think about today's college football, where is it better to get a young quarterback, invest all that time into him, and go through the growing pains with him and possibly lose him if he wants to transfer? Or is it better to go out there and get a guy who has proven 3 or 4 years experience and already has all those mistakes behind him? And and is it's tough to say.
That is a great question. And, you know, take Deuce, Deuce leaving. Yeah, he had one good game, and I hope – and he's a great athlete. I understand he's a good kid. But that was against Mercer. Right. Nothing against Mercer. I played at Mercer – East Tennessee, coached a bunch of Mercers, but it's not LSU, it's not Alabama, it's not Georgia. And, you know, he would have had another year of growing pains. I really feel that, even though he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
So you don't worry about the ones, again, that leaves. Worry about the ones we got. And I'm excited about what we have. And, I agree with you. I'd rather have now, the way things are, the experienced guy.
Yep.
Yeah, hey, again, I'm sorry I didn't give the number out. I'm getting on a tangent soapbox. You're listening to The Drive. The hotline, Sky Bar hotline number is 321-1390. Give us a call. We got about 35 minutes left in the show. I appreciate Brian Matthews being here. Drew on the big board over here keeping us hooked up. I know there's some craziness going on with cell phone service, internets and stuff. So if you can't call, go back. If you still have an old-time phone where you can dial it, it's hanging on the wall in the kitchen with a long cord. And Drew doesn't know what I'm talking about, Brian.
You got to do the little rotating thing there.
Oh, yeah. And I can remember party lines. I'm
that
old.
That's right. I am, too.
And
am
Mrs. Too. Miller would never get off the phone. And and then you could hear her click on when you were talking to your girlfriend.
Yeah.
But those long those time the days. Ago.
Yep.
Those were the days. I can still remember my number. 895-6311.
There you
Unbelievable.
Go.
But we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. And please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Be a part of The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Drive with Brian Matthews, Don Dunn, Drew at the controls. Wednesday evening, January the 14th, about 5:30 in the afternoon. Now all I need to do, Brian, is give the weather report, right?
That's
it's going to get cold tonight, boys.
Yeah, it is.
Better bring in the pets, animals, and girlfriends because it's going to be
wives
cold.
And girlfriends.
Wives and girlfriends and plants. Don't forget the plants. That way your girlfriend and wives will be happy with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, we were joking. Well, not joking. We were talking about, you know, the cell phones being out or service or whatever. And I wonder what people are doing, you know. We were talking about old phones and party lines and remembering our old numbers. And then we got to talking about, you know, we had three TV stations back
That's
in
right.
those days. And I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky. So we got the Cincinnati Reds and the Chicago Bears. I'm sure down here you got the Braves. And what would have been the football
team? Falcons.
Falcons,
I grew up in Doraville, which is right outside Atlanta. So I got the Falcons, Hawks. And
Right, right. And we didn't. And we had the old ABA Louisville Colonels. A pretty good team with Artis Gilmore and Dan Issel.
Yeah.
Louis Dampier.
You
can tell I'm a Kentucky basketball guy. But anyway, it's funny. My son looks at me like I'm crazy. You know, you did what? They don't even have a TV. They live in Minneapolis. We're outside of Minneapolis. And they watch everything on computers and stuff.
Huh.
So when we go to visit, I'm just sitting there getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And they finally got the TV hooked up for me last
Just so
night.
You can, you have something to do.
I said, what are you doing? Because I get up at the crack of dawn anyway.
Yeah.
But we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 321-1390. And we've got Spectre. How you doing this evening, Spectre?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Well, we're trying to hold this fort down.
Well, I heard what happened with Verizon. You know, what happens when you don't pay your Verizon bill?
You know what? That's probably the truth.
Yeah, you know, the government doesn't mess around. If you don't pay that FCC license, get cut off.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know, talking about landlines, Doug, Don, you remember that the phone numbers begin with alpha numbers, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, mine was CY1660. That was Cypress 1660.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Oh, yeah. Was TW, and I can't remember what TW89. I don't know what that stood for, but I remember that for sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think they changed it over in the 70s.
See, I don't remember that. So
yeah, I remember TW56311, TW9. I don't know what that was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something they had back in the day, back in the 50s and 40s. But it carried on into the 60s, and I think they changed it over to a seven-number phone number. And, yeah, I remember mine. Yeah, exactly right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I can remember mine and my grandmother's.
I don't remember my grandmother's now. Yeah, it's been a while. But anyway, getting to some sports here. I'm sitting here waiting for the game to come on. But, Brian, you know, I feel like the sun's finally coming up on Auburn and their offensive line woes. I hope we're getting a good offensive line coming this fall. And if we don't, we're in dire straits.
Well, I think they're going out and getting some experienced players. You know, we'll see how it all gels together, right? They've got to have some more veterans depth-wise and competition-wise. But you got to like some of the guys they've added, especially the kid from USF, Cole Best, at center. I just really like that pickup there.
You know, I was excited beginning of last year, you know, getting some of those guys, experienced guys from other places. Come to find out, we were getting what they didn't want. and I hope that the case that, you know, we're not doing the same thing. I hope they're vetting these guys really well and find out they don't have hearing problems and things like that.
Yeah.
That's a problem on the old line.
I think it's tough to judge individual positions and players as much from last year because that offense was just kind of a mess, right? I mean, you don't have a receiving core like that and just throw them five-yard hitches and curls and that type of stuff. That's just not winning football in my mind.
No, I agree with you. And, again, we got to run the football.
Yeah.
And that way you can take care of your receivers.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to y'all a little bit longer, but the problem of having a landline, you ain't got a cell phone now. Everybody's trying to call me now.
Yeah, I got you, buddy. Thank you for the call. Right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to another call. We've got – oh, I'm sorry. Call us back there, buddy. Brent, is that correct? If you get a chance, give us a call. We apologize for that. But, again, you're listening to The Drive. Give us a call on the Skybar hotline at 321-1390. Brian is going over.
Yeah, we can do that some more.
Go ahead, buddy.
Going over the defensive line wise. You know, we've got some more to do here. They did add Cody Sigler from Arkansas State. Saint Ferrier, a nose guard, was a recent addition. You know, I don't know if he's a starter or not, but he's certainly a guy that's going to fit in there. And from App State, I believe, you know, will provide depth. And then you've got back some young guys. You just don't know, is Malik Autry ready to be up and compete for a starting spot? Maybe. Same with Jordan Crawford. Maybe. We'll see. Darian Smith, to me, Don, he reminds me of guys you would sign back when they were coming undersized.
Right.
But you can see the quickness. Mm-hmm. And what's he going to look like a year from now with strength and conditioning?
Right. The power, the explosion.
Yep. So, I mean, he's a guy that could put on 20, 25 pounds from last year to this upcoming year, and who knows what he could become. You know, he could become a special player. You just don't know. But this past year, he's maybe mostly just a pass-rushing defensive line, a third-down guy. So it'll be interesting to see, but they certainly need some help there.
Yeah, we definitely need some depth and some help. And there's some guys still out there.
Yes.
Just don't panic yet. We got some time.
One guy to keep an eye on is former UNC D tackle, also Texas A&M, DeAndre Robinson, a starter for North Carolina, I think most of last year, is a guy that Auburn's certainly looking at really hard right now. Defensive end edge is a guy that Auburn has added one player, Nate Johnson from Missouri. He was at App State, I think, before that, had, I think, 10 sacks in 2 years, something close to that, and then went to Missouri and was a backup and didn't really play a whole lot, didn't have any sacks last year. I think he's a depth piece there at the edge.
Right.
We'll see. But that's an area where I feel like Auburn's got to have a replacement for Keldrick Falk.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. What a player.
And they got to find a replacement for Keron Crawford, too, yes. on the other end. So yes. Jared Smith is back, mm-hmm. very highly touted. Yep. I think he could play either position, but, again, he hasn't been asked to do what he could be asked to do. And the same with J.J. Falk. I think they're both talented young guys. Guys, again, in the mold of what you and TP would bring in back in the day. Mm-hmm. Not physically built yet, but guys right. that you know potential. Have that athleticism, yeah. Yeah. they're going to be really good as they go through their right. college careers. You've also got Jaquez Wilkes coming in, who I'm very excited about. Again, a small school player from the state of Alabama, played every position in high school,
that's comes the kind here, I like.
Concentrate on defense, a heck of an athlete. I'm telling you that Don Dunn would coach this kid up into an All-American before he was done
thank
here.
Thank you.
So,
or run him off.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So very excited yeah. about the young guys at defensive edge. I just need some more veterans.
Yeah, we need to fill that group need to out. Fill in those spots yep. to help us bring those other guys along for yep. sure.
And then you're moving to maybe the best position on the team, linebacker, absolutely loaded.
Yes,
in my opinion, Xavier Atkins. One of the best linebackers I feel like that's played here in a little while.
Right.
What do you think of him, Don?
Yeah, I like him. He's rangy. Looks like a leader. He's explosive. He can cover. He can rush off the edge. I really like him. Now, I know you haven't mentioned all those guys, Brian. Is there anybody on that group that can maybe move to the edge in certain situations, size-wise? I'm not sure their size.
Maybe Riddick? But yeah. he's maybe 6'2".
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
but I mean, still, that's bigger than
right.
Some guys they've had on the edge before.
Right.
So
right.
I guess that's a possibility.
Yeah,
we'll see. But I really like Elijah Melendez too. He played as a true freshman last year, an inside guy, but so athletic for an inside guy. He's not like your typical inside linebacker
right.
that maybe Auburn was used to having for the past couple of decades. Right, he's more of a guy who can do it all,
yeah.
and not just a thumper it between the guards there.
Okay, well, we'll continue with that, Brian. That's good stuff. Yep. And we have Mitch on the phone. Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Coach. Hey, I thought I was listening to the fine bomb with all the calls coming in.
Yeah, me
that's
too.
That's great.
Yeah. You know, I had to pay all these people. I went around town today. I said, look, I'm hosting the show. I've got $25, and I can split it any way you want.
That's great, Donald. Y'all doing a great job. Brian, I missed it. What was your Monday musings? Was it the Grateful Dead?
It was not the Grateful Dead this week. It was, gosh, now you caught me off guard. I wasn't ready for it.
That was 100 years ago.
Yeah. It was just 2 days ago, right?
We're getting old, Mitch.
Yeah, we really are. It's so sad to speak of.
And I missed. Well, you weren't on. No wonder we missed.
Yeah, that's right. There ain't a good chance.
Yeah.
It was. It was. Oh, yeah. It was Steve Miller Band, of course. Yes.
Ooh, Steve Miller.
Yes.
Oh,
another
okay.
good one.
Well, I think I heard Philly saying something about Jerry Garcia and Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was talking about the guy that passed away.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Okay. So, what was the big thing about Steve Miller Band?
52 years since the Joker rose number one on the Billboard 100. And so I talked about that, the pompousness of love being a pompousness being a made-up word and stuff and where it came from and just, you know, went through the history of Steve Miller and his band. So that was good to go back. Another album, the Greatest Hits album, that would be part of my, you know, listening when I was a young teenager type. So, you know, it was good to find out a little bit more about it.
Now, didn't the Steve Miller Band have kind of a, I don't know, I guess you could call it a retro song at the tail end of their career called, what was it, Abracadabra?
Abracadabra, that was a number, I think it was a number one song back in 1980, I'm trying to remember, 1982. Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. Yep, Abracadabra,
yeah,
yep. Abra, yep. That's how it went.
But, I mean, from what I remember of Steve Miller, it was kind of like, I don't know, kind of like what U2 did
yeah.
during their time. They kind of changed with the times, kind of like Prince did
yep.
also. But so, yeah, that was just from what they played in the 70s. And when I heard that song, it's like, that's the Steve Miller Band?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
And it's interesting, he grew up with Bob Skaggs, of course, and who was part of the Steve Miller Band to start out. His father was not only a physician, but also an amateur recording engineer, and his mother was a jazz singer, so he was sort of brought up in that time and got to know a lot of other artists as a young kid growing up, so they had a lot of influences on his future career.
He had the pedigree, as they say.
Yes, definitely.
Well, hey, you guys were talking about party lines and all that stuff. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, know, yes. Man, yes, sir.
Still good. You know, yeah, you still watch that.
Only,
yeah,
when Barney's on, when Barney's on.
Yeah.
After Barney.
I was watching one yesterday where Barney thought that he was got engaged, got the whole town excited, threw a party for him. Yeah,
that's classics, classics. That and Gunsmoke, it don't get any better.
but yeah, I mean, they'll like, you know, they call up the operator and say, you know, get me Thelma Lou or get me Sheriff Taylor, or sometimes say, you know, get me connect me with 127R or something.
Yeah,
like
crazy.
Because I remember, because my grandmother lived in Macon County. I mean, spitting distance from Lee County, and we were in Auburn, and that was a long distance call.
Oh yeah, crazy, so, crazy
and
times.
And my mother, who is still alive, she still has the same landline phone number that we got in 1975.
That's crazy. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I know. I'm curious. I mean, I would love to retire that number or somehow capture that number once she passes away. But
yeah.
So, and it's a real easy number to remember. I'm not going to say it on the air.
No, she'll be getting calls. Yeah.
But what time is the game tonight? Is
six.
It at 6?
6 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I'll let you guys go so you can get some more calls in. And War Eagle and Coach Dunn, I guess are you cooking barbecue tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, have fun. Hey, you guys soon.
Thank you, Mitch. Let's get to a break, and then we'll get back
Final
to
break.
Our calls.
Yeah.
Jonathan here with University Ace Hardware at University.
Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back to the drive on this Wednesday. In the studio with Brian Matthews, Drew at the controls. I am Don Dunn, and we're getting close to the end of the show. But if you want to get a quick call in on the Skybar hotline, it's 321-1390. Brian, I really appreciate you being here today.
Love it.
You want to try to knock out a few more
let's do
positions,
it.
And then we'll let you kind of close us out with what all you got going. I know it's a busy time of year with the portal and basketball and everything.
Yeah, we're talking about linebacker. I want to mention Bryce Diaz, another young kid who you feel like an off season for him is going to be great. And then DeMarcus Riddick coming off injury. I thought he was one of Auburn's most talented players as a freshman a year ago. This season, of course, was tough for him with a shoulder, but he should be back. He should be really, really good. I think he's a guy that can impact the game in a lot of ways, attacking the line of scrimmage, maybe even rushing the passer there.
Yeah.
Also has the athleticism, a lot like Atkins, to cover receivers and running backs. So a really good player there. Cornerback's interesting. You lost your two starters, Jay Crawford and Kay and Lee, who were supposed, both scheduled to return this year. They're off to other schools. But Andre Jordan Jr. from UCLA, I think, is a really good addition there. And then you added Shamar Arnaud, a former Auburn commitment from FSU. He can compete with Rashawn Pleasant, Blake Woodby, and some other guys for the other spot. Maybe we'd like to see maybe one more guy there as a depth piece, but I think they've done pretty good at that position. And then safety nickel, you're getting back your starters, Caleb Harris, year three for him, Champ Anthony, back from injury as a senior or a super senior, I guess. Sly Smith, the junior, another third-year player who is probably a better run nickel than he is a
pass.
Cover nickel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like that they've went out and got Fred Gaskin, another guy who can play nickel and really attacked the line of scrimmage there. And then you got two young guys at safety, and Eric Winters and Anquan Fagans, that to me look like they can push some of those more veteran guys maybe for starting positions. So that should be a really talented position with a whole bunch of competition over the spring and fall.
Yeah. Again, you can't have enough depth. You know, the thing about 04, we stayed pretty healthy. That's another thing.
Yeah.
And we haven't had really much time to talk about the specialist. That's a crucial part, you know, kickers, snappers, holders.
Yes.
You forget about the snapper and holder again until something goes wrong. return guys. That's so important. A guy that not only – I want him to catch the ball. It drives me nuts when they let the ball roll. You know, the 10-yard rule. Do they even have that anymore? I even see the pros trying to catch a ball on the 1 yard.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah.
Drives me nuts.
Yep.
You know, when I was playing and coaching, if you put your heels on the 10-yard line, if it even
– let it go.
Yeah, don't reach for it or jump. But everybody wants to be a hero, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Until something happens.
Yeah.
But
Alex McPherson should be back.
Yes, yes.
For his senior year.
Yeah, and, unbelievable.
Hopefully he can stay healthy and continue to add weight. And
yeah, bless his heart. What a great kid.
Everything he's been through.
Oh, man. I think he's tough.
Yes.
I mean, let me tell you now.
You're not going to find many 160-pound dudes as tough as Alex McPherson.
No. And you know.
And I mean that. That's not.
No. I agree with you, and I continue to wish him well because – I can't imagine when you're that young and you just your whole life's ahead of you, and it's scary. You know, that was got pretty close to not being the outcome we wanted. But real quick before we close, Brian, I know you're swarmed.
Yep.
You've had a busy couple of weeks, or really since it hadn't slowed down for you. Hopefully, you got a couple of days at Christmas, New Year's.
Yeah, we got a few in there. Yeah,
we're good. But tell us what you got going, how we can get in touch with you and follow you.
And want to give a shout-out to my entire team, Jeffrey Lee, Caleb Jones, Cole Pinkston, Justin Hokinson, J.G. Tate. All those guys are working really, really hard, especially Jeffrey and Cole and Caleb with the portal stuff. And that's just constant, you know. Every minute you've got to be, you know, ready to go. So they're doing a terrific job keeping up with all that. And, of course, we've got basketball coverage. Baseball practice started Monday. I was out there.
Wow, unbelievable.
Had a little story on that. It's going to be an exciting spring, I think, for those
guys.
Yeah,
we're ranked in the top 10 in some polls.
Yeah, ninth is the highest I've seen so far, D1 baseball. Well, I really respect those guys and their poll.
Yeah.
And great lineup. Very excited about that. And we're going to see how that pitching staff comes together. We've got a lot of depth there, a lot of competition, a lot of really good arms. So, should be an exciting year at Plains and Park here, getting underway February 13th.
And what a great place to watch a baseball game.
Yes, absolutely love it. So excited for that. But we'll have plenty of coverage of that, basketball tonight, all that more, auburnsports.com. Follow me on Twitter, /X at BMATAU.
Yeah, and I cannot thank you again, Brian and Drew. I mean, you saved me. I got here early. You know, I'm an early bird, and then I keep looking out the window to make sure you guys are pulling up. But, pretty big night in the SEC in men's basketball. Some interesting games. Auburn, I think they're tipping off here in about 8 minutes. So you get a chance to watch that. And if I were you, I'd watch it and listen to Andy.
There you go.
He does
exactly.
A great job.
That's the way to do it.
I will be back tomorrow. And Jacob's going to help me out tomorrow. And Brian, I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, yeah.
And we had some fun times, like always. I've known Brian since, I guess, we got here in 99.
Yeah.
And always been a good friend and very helpful with recruiting. It's changed a lot, hasn't it, buddy?
It has. It has a whole lot.
The coaching, the recruiting, and talking about cell phones, real quick before we get off the air, I remember many a night I'd stop on the road and hope I had a quarter to call a recruit on the old payphone. And, you know, half the kids growing up today don't know what a payphone is.
That's right. Or back when they got their cell phones and it was 10 cents a text and you felt terrible having to text them all the time asking what was going on.
Oh, yeah. But you had to. And then I had my son had to set up everything, my Facebook, my Twitter. Yep. I still don't know what all that is. and then now you can – I guess look at each other and talk with Zoom calls or whatever. Yeah. Thank gosh we didn't have all that stuff. But could you see Terry Price trying to Zoom somebody with that big head he had? But anyway, Again, thanks for all the calls. A lot of great calls. Thanks to all our sponsors. Thank to Skybar for sponsored our hotline. And we will see you guys tomorrow. And one thing I want to say is run the ball. Right, Drew? Run the ball.
Run the daggum ball.
Run the daggum ball. But again, thank you, and y'all be safe.